Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Ches, and we are holding six lines from the top of the Omud, where the Gemara begins, Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Lo Yishonu Elo Lemalois. That we've been discussing until now was to go and fill up the bucket. What means to fill up the bucket? What did we have in our Mishnah? You had a Gezustra, you had a balcony that was Lemalim and Amayim. I'm just reading from the Mishnah here on Pei Zayin Amid Beis. You had a gezustra, a balcony, which is over the water. What can you do? You make a hole in the middle, and then make sure that there are four machitzas from all sides, and then you can go and drop the bucket down to go and fill up the bucket and bring it back up. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. Ein memalim mena b'shabes, elim kein osu la machitza gavoya asara tvachim, bein memalim mei memate. If you have machitzas a room and a room, and remember we had a lengthy discussion yesterday about Rabbi Hananya ben Akavia that says you don't even need the four machitzas as long as you can deem them to be bent over machitzas. Anyway, so you got machitzas, you have your water hole in the middle, drop down the bucket, bring the water up, and everything is great. Now, bear in mind that all households, besides needing water for their daily needs to drink and to cook and to wash clothing, etc., and Shabbos, of course, you have to bring up the water to drink. You also need to go and release waste water, sewage water, from your homes. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have these modern toilets and stuff. We didn't have that years ago. So you got to get rid of the waste water. So can you do that the same thing? In other words, just like you brought the water up, maybe you can go and throw the waste water down. So we're going to have a full Mishnah about this on the bottom of the Amud. If you want to take a quick eye at it, you'll see the Mishnah begins, Chotzeshib Chusame Arba Amas, Ein Shoifchen B'toichem Mayim B'Shabbos. You cannot pour out the waste water on Shabbos. Elam Ken Asu La Uka, unless they made an Uka. What exactly is an Uka? We'll see in Mir Shem shortly. But the definition of a Uka in modern English would be a cesspool. Cesspool is a place where the sewage collects together in a guma, in a hole in the ground. Mitchum, you will discuss, unfortunately, a lot about that today. Unfortunately, it's Torah, but unfortunately, it's not the... Omer Rav Huna, lo yishonu, that you're allowed to go and use this balcony with a machitis, a room, and a room, el lemalis, to go and fill up the bucket with water and bring it up. Avalishbech, but to go and send down wastewater, that's also, that you're not allowed to do. Why are you not allowed to do it? What's the difference between this and that? Says Rashi very simply. Because when you put the four machitzas on top, we deem that whole rishus to be a rishus hayochid. You're raising the waters from down below, which is a karmelis. Normally this would be problematic, but we have that famous rule that Brother Shai enunciated yesterday. What's that rule? That you can go and use even a machitza teluya, therefore you can go and bring up the water, that's great. However, if you're going to send the water back down, wastewater, and you're going to deposit it into the yam, into the river, it's going to go and flow from there further down. It's not going to remain within the four machitzas teluyais of your rishus hayachid. It's going to go further down. That already becomes a problem. Either it'll go into a full-fledged, a larger karmelis. Maybe it'll go into rishus harabim. It's going to leave your rishus. So, as opposed to bring the water in where it's going to stay in your rishus, and that's permissible with the machitzes teluyais, here it's going to leave your rishus out. No good. That's what Rabbi Avuda says. Maskel Rav Shizbi b'chima bein zel uka. Why is this different than the uka that we mentioned in the Mishnah down below, where a person is allowed to go and pour his wastewater into the uka, which is a cesspool? What's the kasha over here? The kasha is because even when the cesspool fills up, we will see a mechem on the Amud Beis, you can continue pouring wastewater into that cesspool, even though you know that it's going to overflow, and water is going to leave your chotzer, flow into the rishus harabim, that is still okay. Why is it okay? It's going beyond the rishus. It's just like the case of the wastewater going down in the yam, that it's leaving the rishus of the four machitzos tluyois, and it's flowing away. Here too, it's flowing out of your chotzer, out of the uka, into the Rishus HaRabim. What's the difference? Everything wanna honey timey, but honey loy timey. because b'derech klal, by pouring it into the cesspool, it will get absorbed into the ground and it won't go out to the Rishus HaRabim. While in the case where you go and put it into the water, then for sure it's going to flow away. It's not going to stay there intact underneath your balcony. And Rashi adds, and even in the case of the cesspool where it is full, and in fact some does flow into Rishus HaRabim, but that's not his kavana. His kavana is to leave it on his property, not that it should leave his property. And therefore we either have the benefit of Reb Shimon that says a davar she'eino mischaven is mutter. And even if you tell me that the cesspool is full and therefore it's a psik reishe, Rashi says that as far as this isser is concerned, it's not an isser d'oraisa, it's only an isser d'rabbanan, and therefore we adavish ein meschavin ben isser d'rabbanan, I'm not too upset, and I would allow the person to go and pour it into the cesspool. So the cesspool is okay, but don't lower the wastewater into the yam down below. Hani taimi, taimi means that these waters get absorbed, meaning in the case of the cesspool, they get absorbed into the ground, and they don't necessarily leave your chotzer into the Rishus HaRabim. Vani lo yisayim, but the waters that go down into the yam, down below, they don't get absorbed, they flow away. Ikri Amri, another version, Amr Rav Rav Huna, lo yitayim ula mal esu deshar lishpoich chotzer, el lishpoich nami shari, just the opposite. You are allowed to use this pulley system with your balcony to drop wastewater down. Just like in the case of the uka, you can go and pour wastewater into the cesspool, even though it flows from there into the Rishus HaRabim, from the chot into Rishus HaRabim. Here too, so it flows from your makeshift Rishus HaYachid, it goes into the karmelis and flows away. So what's the chiddush? Says Yomaru, say, might think, honey, time, somebody doesn't have their mute button on, please mute yourself. So Yomaru, I would say, Maudu, say, honey, time, what's this honey timey? The reason why we permit it in the uka is because b'derech klal, when it goes into the cesspool, it doesn't go into the Rishus HaRabim. It usually gets nivla, it usually gets absorbed into the ground. Vani loy taimi, when you go and pour it down, the wastewater through the hole in the balcony, it does not get absorbed. Kamash malon, that in both cases it's okay and you're allowed to go and either pour the water into the cesspool, or you let it go and let the wastewater down into the yam.
Why are we having the case in the next Mishnah? It has to be such a small chutzner.
That's the next Mishnah.
Yeah, I'm saying
about four by four.
Four by four.
We're going to get to that in a minute. Pchenshtei gezustroy zu. Again, we said in our Mishnah, if you have two gezustroys, two such balconies, let's take a quick look at the Mishnah again. Pei zayin umid beis. Pchenshtei gezustroy zu lamalim zu. One was higher, one was lower. Asal elyoina, for the elyoina, they made the machitzis arum and arum to lower the bucket. But they didn't do it for the bottom one. Shtein asuris et she'arvu, both of them are asur. Not only the lower one, which you cannot use anyway because you don't have the machitzis, but even the upper one with the machitzis, you cannot use it et she'arvu unless they make an eruv together. What's the reason why you cannot go and use the upper one? The reason is because the lower one has rights to use the upper one, and therefore the double jurisdiction, the double rights of each one interferes with the other person's right, so therefore they have to have an eruv together. Is Omer Rav Huna Omer Rav to our Gemara? Lo yishon al b'smucha. That's dafka when they happen to be close together. Rashi says close together means within four tvachim. Then you go and say that the lower one has rights to use the upper one and interferes with the upper one's usage of his balcony, and therefore you have to make an eruv. Am meflegis, however, if they would be more than four tvachim apart, elyon muteris, then the elyon would be mutter on its own. Why? After all, the tachtoina still would have rights to go and use the elyoina. Now, how would the tachtoina use the elyoina? They would go and throw the bucket from the tachtoina to the elyoina, and the elyoina would then allow it to go down, mishushul, down to the ground, to the water. So it's what we would call a zrika meveshech, in other words, not a vertical zrika, but we're talking now about a horizontal zrika, and then it goes down. You lower it down through the hole. So, but the Maisa, they still have a right to go and do that. Rav Latami, the Marav, Eino de Moisa Chaveiru Derech Avir. If the way that you're answering the other person, you're interfering with his rights, is Derech Avir. Derech Avir means through a horizontal throw. Says Rav, that's considered to be enough removed that if it's more than four tvachim away, he does not aser one on the other, and therefore the Elyoina can continue using their balcony on their own to draw up the water. Rashi explains, according to the Hava Minna, means what happens if I have a house and adjoining my house is a charva. Charva means a house that has collapsed and has only the bare walls, not even the walls, a pillar over here and a kora and a beam over here, but it's really a charva. Since the owner of that house is typically not there because it's uninhabitable, he typically could care less whether I use that house or not for storing kalim and other things, because anyway it's a charv, it's uninhabitable. So, say these mandiyam and rabba and Rav Yosef, yesh gezel b'shabbos, you're allowed to go and use that charv on Shabbos, even though it's a shtikl gezela, not really, but kind of colloquially, it's gezel, because it's not my property, but the owner waives his rights, and you can go and use it on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about making an Erev and calling the owner, can you contribute an Erev together with me? It's all right, you can go and use it. However, if you're talking about a charva, make sure to give it back to the Baalim, because you're a gazlan. You have no right to go and take the charva. The charva doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the owner. So, Mister, you're contradicting yourself in the same sentence. A goof kasha. Amrish yesh gezel b'shabbos alma kanya. It says yesh gezel b'shabbos. It means you do have the right to go and use the next door charva. And then you say v'charva machzel abalim, but make sure you return it because it's not yours. Now make up your mind: is it? Can I use it for Shabbos? Can I not use it for Shabbos? Al maloy kan. You see, you're not coin it to make sure to give it to the balim, and you would have to go and call him up for an erev l'chayr. Everything marachi kama. No. We have to have a new pshat. Yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. What means yesh din gezel b'Shabbos? Even though Sunday through Friday, I use the charva next door as if it's just an annex to my house because nobody lives there. Oh, but Shabbos, oh no, Shabbos, there is a din of gezel, and therefore you cannot go and use that other person's charva, but rather, ketzad, give me an example, what do you mean yesh din gezel b'Shabbos? The charva machzel ba'alim, you have to give it back to the ba'alim, and without getting permission from the ba'alim, it will be osur lishtamish, but you would not be able to go and use it on Shabbos because it's not yours. So it's not so much as choshen mishpat halachas of bein ish lachaveray, bein odom lachaveray. Rather, we're talking about the gavi Shabbos halachas. Since it's not your property, you have no right to go and put things down and take things back because it's not yours. You'd have to go and ask the balim for a shus. And if the balim would actually come on the scene, then you'd have to go and have an erev. But if he's not around, we had already before that if a yid is not around and he's in a different city, you don't have to worry. If he's in the same city, depends if he went to his daughter or his daughter-in-law, like we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. Based on what we just said now, that you have to be machzeh chorva lebalim, that's a choshver on our Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? What does it say? That one asers on the other if the bottom one did not make machitzos. The Amris Yesh Din Gezel B'Shabbos Amaya Surois. If you're telling me that there's Din Gezel B'Shabbos, why is it Asr? What does he mean, why is it Asr? Because the Gemara's assumption at this point is that the upper balcony and the machitzas on the upper balcony were manufactured and paid for by the people who live in the upper balcony. And the people who live in the lower balcony, they paid for their balcony, but they had nothing to do with the machitzas on the upper balcony. And if they have nothing to do with those machitzas, what rights do they have to throw their bucket up to the upper balcony and have it go pass down the hole and bring up the water? It's not theirs. Even though they use it from Sunday through Fridays, but yesh din gezel b'Shabbos, it's not theirs. So why would they have the right to go and aser on the people above if it doesn't belong to them? Samaya surais. So Amar Rav Sheshav, why is it going to ask mechitz b'shutfes? Ah, it's Taka talking about that when the Elyoina people were building their mechitzos, they called the Tachtoina people on the telephone, and they said to them, Tachtoina guys, do you have your own water hole to draw up water on Shabbos? No, we do not. Do you intend building up mechitzes on your balcony? No, we do not. Would you be interested in having water from us? Oh, for sure. But to do that, we have to put mechitzes on our property. How much does it cost? Mechitzes, a rim, a balcony, costs $1,000. Are you willing to chip in? Yes. Ah, so therefore they have a shutfus in that mechitza above. That's why they have a right to aser. Since they have the right to use it, they have the right to aser it. Why does the Mishnah say it's Tafka talking about that the Elyoina made mechitzes? Even if Tachtoina made mechitzes, since they contributed towards the upper mechitzes, they have a right of way, they have a right of usage, so they should shter. You should have to make an Erev. Why do the Tachtoina have to make mechitzes if the Elyoina has mechitzes? And especially if the Tachtoina people participated and paid for part of those mechitzes. Why do they have to build their own mechitzes? The answer is because they found that this system was not to their liking. Why wasn't it to their liking? It didn't work out so well. The Elyoina people were nasty to them. Whenever the Tachtoina people would throw the bucket up, the Elyoina people would say, "Pink now, we're in the middle of Kiddush, why are you throwing it up now?" Whatever. And that's why the Tachtoina eventually made their own mechitzes. So there was a Gili Das, thank you very much for all past services. From now on, we're going to be on our own. Once that's the case, they no longer interfere with each other's utility, and that's why it would be mutter. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to tell us much more about the halachas involving cesspools and sewage and wastewater on Shabbos. Note that our Mishnah and our Gemara do not at all raise the issue of potential zriya. Zriya means that water that gets absorbed in the ground helps the ground to go and grow. And therefore, that l'chadish should be a concern if you throw the water out in a cesspool, for instance, or anywhere on your chatzar, it should help the chatzar to go and grow. So we're talking about a situation where the land does not lend itself to grow. There is no zriya issue. Or maybe the wastewater is so toxic, it only destroys the vegetation, it doesn't raise the vegetation. Okay, I shouldn't say destroy, then Barry will say, well, maybe it should be over on koitzer, or something else, it'll be mekalkel. Anyway, we're talking about that this Mishnah in our Gemara is zriya neutral. There is no concern about growing.
Destroying it for constructive purposes.
Yeah, but if the psikresha, in other words, if I pour water out on the ground outside and grass will eventually grow, even though I could care less, yes or not, but that would still be osir. So it's talking about a situation that nothing grows as a result of the wastewater being either splashed or thrown out on the chotzer property. So starting the Mishnah. If the chotzer is very, very small, it's less than 4 by, and the Gemara supplies by 4, it's less than 4 by 4 amos, ein shoivchen betoicha mayim b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and spill out your wastewater on Shabbos on that chotzer. Elim kein osu la'uka machzekes sorsayim min ha'nekev ulamata b'imi b'chutz. Maybe befnim. The only way you'd be able to go and pour out your wastewater on the chotzer is if you pour it into an uka. Uka, we already described, is a cesspool. How big, what are the dimensions of the cesspool? It has to be large enough to hold sosayim, a fairly large shear. Usually we say a so'a is the equivalent volume of 144 eggs, meaning 12 dozen eggs. So sign would be double that amount. So that's a very, very large space where you're pouring out the wastewater. And it's got to be a minimekev ulamata. What means minimekev ulamata? Think about the modern day bathtubs that usually, besides the drain on the bottom of the bathtub, you also have a hole or a drain towards the top of the bathtub that just in case a person let the water on and he went into the other room and he forgot about it so that it shouldn't overflow. The overflow will go into that drain on the top as opposed to the drain on the bottom. Right? That's I'm sure you have that. Good. So the same thing over here in the cesspool, they also had a hole towards the top, that if the cesspool started filling up, then that hole would lead that extra water, wastewater, into the shusra. So it has to machzik min a nekev v'lamata. Below that nekev, it has to be able to hold a volume of tusa. If you have that uka, that cesspool, built into your property, dug into your property, into the chotzer, or bebechutz. Bebechutz means it's right outside your property. You don't want to make a cesspool on your chotzer. That would look terrible. So right beyond the border of your chotzer, you built a cesspool to go and let out the wastewater, which would be either part of the shusarabim, part of the mavoi, and presumably you're talking about a case where he had the permission to do so, so he's not creating a public hazard. But on the if he is building, in fact, the cesspool outdoors beyond his property line, if it's Rishas Rabbim or Mavi where people are walking back and forth, then Tzarech Likmar, the word Likmar means to go and put a cover, a manhole over it. There are several reasons given. The simple reason is because it says in the Torah, if you make a bar Rishas Rabbim, you better make sure that you go and cover it. Otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, if somebody's property falls in, you pull the Shor v'chamor, then you'd be chayiv for causing damage. But that's only outside. B'mifnib, if it's in your property, ain't tzarech likmar, because just tell people don't trespass. If you trespass, you fall into the cesspool, you're not going to come again. I know what's going to happen. If you fall into the cesspool once, you're not going to come a second time. Anyway, Brother Shai asked about 5 minutes ago, why does the Mishnah start off by saying it's a chotzer which is less than 4x4? What about if the chotzer happens to be more than 4x4? Then you do not need a guma. You can just sprinkle it out or just spread it out over your property. What's that all about? It may not be pleasant, but it's permissible. Why, when, where, why is there a difference between more than 4 amos and less than 4 amos? We'll see Mitchum as we start the Gemara. But your question is exactly what the Gemara is going to ask. Why does our Mishnah start off only if it's less than 4x4? Make sure you make the uka. That's the hole in the ground, the cesspool. Reb Lezman Yaakov changes channels a little bit, and he says, we talked about cesspools enough. Let's talk about a biv. In modern day Hebrew, I believe a biv in Eretz Yisrael is a sewer. And the biv that we're talking about over here is middle of the Rashi's, halfway down in the wide lines. Charitz, it's a ditch. Person wants to get rid of his wastewater. He builds like a duct. He builds a charitz, a canal in his property. Until now we spoke about the amasamayim that brings in fresh water. Here we're talking about a biv, which is a canal to let out the wastewater. And that wastewater is going to leave his property and go into the shusra. Said Reb Lezman Yaakov, nim biv shu komur. If you have the biv which leads into Rishas Rabim, and there in the Rishas Rabim, where it is, it has a cover over the four amos, you're allowed to go and pour in it Mayim B'Shabbos. What is Reb Lezer ben Yaakov's focus on the shear of the four amos? So Rashi says, because we have Kimlon, we have Zashtikul Kabbalah, that if you have a biv, such a duct, such a canal, which is 4 amos long, when you pour the water in, often the water will get absorbed into the biv itself, and therefore will not leave the biv and go into the Rishas Rabim generally, but it stays in that biv. And depending on the dimension of the biv might be either batel to your Rishas HaYachid, or it might be a Mokem Patur, depending on how wide and how deep the biv happens to be. Anyway, but the point is, if you have such a biv and it's 4 amos long, the Blesman ben Yaakov holds, I'm not concerned that it's going to leave the biv and flow into the Rishas Rabim generally, because since it's 4 amos long, it'll probably get absorbed into the ground. The Chum say, don't pour into the biv itself. Because when you pour into the biv itself, it's going to go with a rush, and the assumption is it won't get absorbed, and it's going to flow into the shesra. And then, number one, you will be niskaima machshavtoi. One of the basic hetenum of our Mishnah is, I don't want the water to go in the Rishus Aram. I would prefer that it gets absorbed into my property. It stays in my cesspool. If it does go beyond that, that was not my kavana. And even if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that you're potter on a davar she'enim miskaven. Remember, we had that famous machlokes Masechta Shabbos, whether davar she'enim miskaven is mutter, also according to Yehuda, it's also according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. Here it's davar she'enim miskaven. So Rabbi Shimon will hold, no, it's mutter, Rabbi Yerushalayim. But if it's going with a rush, it has now the problem of a psikreishe, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, but the water is going to go out. And being moitzim reshus l'reshus. So therefore the Chachamim say that the heter would be, don't pour it into the bib itself, first pour it out onto the gag, onto the roof. And therefore the bib that we're talking about over here is more like the gutters and leaders that we are familiar with, that you have gutters on your roof to get all the leaves out and all the other schmutz that accumulates on top of the roof. And here too, you pour the wastewater out on the roof, it goes through those leaders and gutters, goes down to the floor. Eventually, hopefully, it gets absorbed into the ground down below. And since by the time it reaches the leaders or gutters, it's not rushing anymore because it had to go through all those things. So when it gets to the biv down below on the floor, then maybe it will get absorbed. And if it doesn't get absorbed, it's shloim bekavana. It's shloim bekavana, even though it goes into the next rishus. The whole isser is an isser drabonon because we're assuming it's going to go from your rishus into a movie or something else, not rishus haram, and therefore the combination of that it's shloim bekavana, it's drabonon, it's the wastewater, the chamam were mekel, and we're not concerned. But again, the chamam say don't put it directly in the biv, go and have it from the go from the gag to the biv, and then hopefully it will get absorbed into the ground before it leaves the rishus. We're going to talk more about Reb Lezman Yaakov, the chamam on the amud base. Hechotzer v'achsadim mitzdarf al arba amos. When we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that the chotzer has to be 4 amos or larger, and then you don't worry about having the uka, the cesspool. However, what happens if your property, the chotzer, is only 3 amos? But adjoining the chotzer, you have this portico, this thing, gazebo, called an achsadra. Achsadra also doesn't have walls, it only has pillars that are holding it up, like a chuppah, and then underneath it you have empty area, empty land. Oh, so you can add the achsadr to your chotzer to be mistarif to the 4 amos requirement of the beginning of the Mishnah. Now, a new halach. It says v'chein, but many are not good as the word v'chein, but rather, shtei diutois zu keneged zu. If you have 2 houses which are next to each other, and the 2 houses have 2 aliyos, meaning people living on the second floor of one house, second floor of the other house. And the 2 second floor houses are parallel to one another. So each waves to the other guy. You know? And each one of them has the benefit of the chotzer below. And only one of the 2 inhabitants, one of the 2 neighbors, made an uka lamata. The other one did not make an uka lamata. So says the Mishnah, you have the shtei diutoi zu keneged zu. Miktosin osu uka. One neighbor made uka a cesspool down below his balcony. Umiktosin and the other one lay osu uka. Esha osu uka mutarin, esha lay osu uka asurin. The one that has the uka down below, he can use it on Shabbos, not a problem. The ones that did not make the uka cannot use their neighbor's uka, even though the neighbor says, sure, Yankel, there's plenty of room in my uka for your wastewater too. Because it's not only 2 saw, I made it 20 saw large. Yes, you can pour your wastewater in it. It's still asur. Why can't the other neighbors use the uka? Mietshem, that will be the tail end of today's Gemara, as we finish the blat and as we finish the perek in Mietzeshem. Zogdimar, we started off the Mishnah saying a chotzer that is less than 4x4, you want to pour out the wastewater on Shabbos, make sure there's an uka, that there is a cesspool. And therefore, obviously, if you have a property which is more than 4x4, then you do not need to worry about making a cesspool. Right to my time, what difference does it make between more than 4 amos, less than 4 amos? The Gemara gives 2 answers. Answer number 1 is Abba Rabba, Memnesha Adam Osui Lehistapik Sosaim Mayim Bechol Yoim. Period. A person's normal usage of water during the day. In other words, a typical family how much wastewater do they produce in a given day? Typically, sasayim, 2 sa'a of water. And that's why the Mishnah said that the ukah has to be deep, that it can go and hold 2 sa'a of water. The arba amis or the mroitz lizalfan. If your chotzer is 4 amis or larger, a person, instead of using a cesspool, he'll just sprinkle the wastewater out on his chotzer. Now, why is he going to go and sprinkle it out on his chotzer? Lizalif. Lizalif means because we're talking about, says Rashi, be a moisa chama during summer months. Summer months, the land is dry. As a result, there's a lot of dust that accumulates on the property. And if I want to go and serve Kiddush on that property, and all the dust is going to come up, people say, oh, the dust, a dust storm, it's not going to be very pleasant. So if you're mezalef, if you spread out the water on the property, that will keep the dust down. And only by a property which is 4x4 does a person have that desire to keep the dust down. Because less than 4x4, it's not considered to be presentable. It's considered to be such a puny piece of land, you're not going to invite anybody over, you're not going to have a picnic over there, you're not going to have anybody standing on the chutzpah. Of course, the question is, if you're going to pour out wastewater, it's also going to have perhaps a bad odor. So you don't have to think of wastewater necessarily as wastewater from the Beis HaKiseh. It could be just, you know, things that you, water that was in the sink that you're pouring out. Not necessarily that it has a foul odor. But the point is that if it's more than 4x4, a person will use it to sprinkle out onto the property. And if some of that water just happens to go and flow further into another shus beyond my property, that wasn't my kavod, and therefore it's not a problem, it's not an issue. However, says the morning, Amud Beis, Pachris Midalid, if a person has a property which is less than 4x4, Shoivchan, says Rashi at the top, because Eina Roy Lezalif. There's no purpose in keeping the dust down because it's such a small piece of property. It's quote unquote not presentable. You don't really care. Your dust, nish dust. It's such a small little property. So it's gunish. So therefore, Shoivchan, you're just going to go and pour it out without being Mezalif, without spritzing it around. Ah, if you're going to go and pour it out, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go from the property into the Rishus HaRabim, the Ovid Uka, Shari, Eloi, also. You have to make that Uka, that cesspool, to go and pour the water into. So that's the Svar of Rabba, because of Roy Lezalef. In Roy Lezalef, you see, David Fishman has a question.
It would appear that the claim is that an individual makes use of 2 satayim a day. What about the B'nai Bayit?
No, that's a very good question. When the Gemara used the expression, the She'odam Osui Listapik, I think the Gemara means really a household as opposed to an individual.
But that depends upon the size of the household.
That's for sure. I agree with you. I assume that the Gemara is giving us what we would call an objective answer or remedy as opposed to a subjective. Because if it was subjective, then you're right. If you have a family of Kanai Nahara of 12 kids, then you can have more wastewater than if you only have a family of 2 people or 1 child or a single. And I think the Gemara just wants to go and give us a loy plug, a general rule for all families, so I don't have to each time, what happens if I have a guest over Shabbos? Then do I have to make sure that the cesspool is deeper? And what happens if I have multiple guests over Shabbos? What happens if I leave for Shabbos? In other words, the Gemara just wanted to give a clear rule across the board. Otherwise, what happens if a person is obese and therefore he eats more and therefore he has more waste? What happens if a person is skinny? Right? You know, there's so many different factors. So you have to go and give one rule for all, that one size fits all. Otherwise, you can get into lots of issues.
Do you know how much that is in our...
I'm assuming that... I don't know offhand. But very often the art scroll will tell you, especially the Hebrew will tell you the equivalent of today's volumes, and sometimes the English does the same. But I do not know offhand. I do know that a saw is usually 144 eggs, which would be 12 dozen eggs, which are quite a large volume. And here too, and then Sasayim, of course, would be double that. It would be 288 eggs. So maybe that gives you a sense of it. I would assume at least a couple of gallons, maybe more.
Well, they say for challah, right, it's 43 and a third, and that is like 5 pounds.
43 and a fifth.
and what? 43 and a fifth. Yeah, 43 and a fifth. Mm-hmm. And that they say is, you know, 4 to 6 pounds. Say it's 5 pounds.
Five.
And this is, you said, is a saw is a.
What you're saying is correct, but it's not 43.2 saw.
It's beitzim. I'm talking about beitzim.
That's beitzim, right there. Okay, so that's.
And then you said it was
144. So you're trying to establish from that.
So that is.
That would be three times as much, and this is six times as much, and six times the pounds. But now you're converting from pounds to this. So you're saying 30 pounds, maybe? Okay. It's a very good estimate. But there are svarim. Rabbi Noah wrote a whole sefer. It's a beautiful sefer. That's why it's Rabbi Noah. A sefer going through all the shiurim and all the volumes. And the Chazon Ish argues with him on many of the shiurim. So each time when you have these shaylos, you have these questions. Bear in mind that a mikvah, for instance, is 40 saw. So obviously this is much, much smaller than a mikvah. For the large amount of water, and this is only two saw out of 40. 1/20th, right, exactly. Okay, Bokas Midalit Shaifchan. Reb Zeira says, I have a brand new reason. And this is similar to what we were talking about in the Amid Aleph. He says, Dalar Amis Taimi. Bokas Midalit Amis Lay Taimi. The word Taimi over here means it gets Bulua, gets absorbed by the ground. By definition, if it gets absorbed in Taimi, then it ends. In other words, tam, which is of course a familiar word, tam means to end, tam v'nishlam. Here, the taimi would mean that if the property is four amis wide, 4x4, pour out the wastewater on the property, by the time it gets to the end of the property, the water will hopefully have been absorbed into the ground, and they will not flow into the next rishus. If a taimi, they end. But bokhaz midalam, if it's less than dalam, there's not enough place to absorb all of this wastewater coming at one time. Therefore, like time, it won't get absorbed, it's going to go into the other shoes, and therefore, make a cesspool. I have two excellent reasons. I have Rabba's reason, Lizalef, and I have Reb Zeira's reason because of the taimi, because of the absorption. The nafkimina would be, if it's not 4x4 square, it's 8x2. 8x2 rectangle is the same area of 16 square amas, it's 4x4. So what's the nafkimina? Reb Zeira says that 8x2 is the same as 4x4, it will absorb all of the water, and therefore you do not have to make an uka, because it's a large area to go and absorb the water. Mashenker, according to Rabba said the reason is lezalif. Lezalif only applies if it's a presentable property. If it's 4x4, you can show off the property to people, invite people over for a picnic, for a Suda Shabbos, for a Kiddush. That's why you're concerned about Lezalif. If it's this narrow, long strip, 8x2, sinishtahina nishtaher, and therefore you're not concerned about its presentability, and you're not concerned about Ziluf. Since you're not concerned about Ziluf, there you would have to make this uka according to Rabbah. So it's machloikis Rabbah. Rav Zeira nafkimina legabe katin v'arach. Zogti yimara, tenan. Let's try to bring a raya from our Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah it said, chotzer v'achsadrim mitztarf on the dalar amas. If the chotzer itself was less than dalar amas, but it was an achsadra, a portico, or a gazebo next to that chotzer, throw it into the mix. If it adds up to 4x4 amas, then you're okay, and you do not have to go and make an uka. So to our Mishlam, the Reb Zeira Nicha, according to Reb Zeira, that works. Because the assumption is that this achsadra is somewhere in a corner, and the chotzer itself was not that wide, not that long. But if you add that achsadra to the end, which has also a couple of amas here and there, add it all up together, you get to your 16 square amas. El Rabbi Kasha, because a good Rabbi is dafka got to be square. And the Gemara's assumption, the premise of the question is that the achsadra is somewhere in the corner, and although it adds area, it doesn't add square area. Says Gemara, take him a Reb Zeira, alibid Rabbi. Even though this is a riot to Reb Zeira, to show intellectual honesty and integrity, says Reb Zeira, I'm going to end for the Kasha on Rabbi. I'm not going to say this is a knockout Kasha, a riot to me. No. I can answer. Leave the Rabbah. The achsadra maleches al penei kol achotzer kula. It's talking about the achsadra was not in a corner somewhere, but in fact the achsadra stood parallel to the chotzer itself, where the chotzer itself was 4x2, the achsadra was 4x2. The two were aligned, one next to each other, adjacent, one next to each other. So 4x2, 4x2. You get to your 4x4 it's one property, and therefore, in fact, it was square after all. Toshima, let's try to bring another raya in the machloikis Rabba and Rab Zera. Toshima chotzer she'im ba dalid ames al dalid ames. One ames of the chotzer does not have dalid by dalid. Ein shoivchun etoicha mayim b'shabbos. Then you cannot go and pour the water, the wastewater, onto the chotzer, but instead you're going to have to go and make your cesspool. You're going to have to make the uka. Now, this lotion of the Gemara of dalid ames al dalid ames sounds like it's got to be square. Chotzer she'einba doesn't say she'einba 16 square ames. Says she'einba dalid ames al dalid ames. So that sounds like ein shoivchun etoicha mayim b'shabbos. Says bishlam the rabbi nicha. According to rabbi, that's good because rabbi taka says that if it's not square 4x4, even if it's 8x2, but it's not 4x4, you got to make an uka. And Reb Zera kash, because Reb Zera says it doesn't have to be 4x4. It could be 8x2. It could be 3x6. It could be other dimensions, as long as it adds up to 16 square ames. So why does the Brisa insist on Eimba Dalet al Dalet? Omlech Reb Zera Mani Rabbanan he. That Brisa you just quoted, that's the Rabbanan. Masis Reb Lezer ben Yaakovi. And our Mishnah that we've been arguing about in the Reisha, that's Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Now who are the Rabbanan and who Reb Lezer ben Yaakov? That we had Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. So what did it say in our Mishnah? That the Rabbanan said, even if you have a biv, biv is this long drainage duct canal on your property, even if it's meya amma, even if it's 100 ammas long, lo yishbach l'toicha, don't pour directly into it, but rather pour on your gag, and from the gag it's going to go down to the biv, and then it won't be such a rush of water, and then you can allow it to go and flow out into the biv, and eventually some of it may go into the other rishus, like a rishus rab. Aha, so now the Gemara says, Why do the Chacham say, go and pour it into the gag and don't pour it into the biv? So I see that the reason for the Chacham is because they're concerned about the zilof issue and not about the absorption issue. Because according to Blazim and Yaakov, as long as your biv is 4 amos long, that's already enough. It's going to absorb all of the rain or all the wastewater. And the Chacham said, no, that's not enough. You have to, even if the biv is 100 amas long, don't pour it into the biv because it's still going to flow and rush. So you see, they don't care about absorption. Ah, since Reb Zera is an absorption person, Reb Zera said, Dalar amas taimi, pachas mi dalar amas lay taimi. So Reb Zera, I learned from Lezman Yaakov, that once you have 4 amas open, wastewater falls in, before it has a chance to go to the other rishus, it'll get absorbed into your own rishus. You don't have to worry about haitza'a, me rishus li rishus on Shabbos. Rabba disagrees with Reb Zera, and he goes with the Svara of the Zilov, says Reb Zera, the Brisa that we just quoted that insists on the 4x4, that's Taka Zilov, doesn't hold of the absorption Svara, and that's the Rabbanan in our Mishnah that say that even if it's 100 amos long, I'm afraid it might not get absorbed and it might flow into the other rishus. But the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that's not the Rabbanan, that's Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. And Reb Lezer ben Yaakov does go with the absorption theory, that of Reb Zera, and that's why it makes no difference whether it's 4x4 or 8x2. It'll absorb all the water before it has a chance to go into the other rishus. Just like Reb Zera said that the other Brisa is the Rabbanan. And he agrees that the Rabbanan don't agree with Reb Zera's theory of the absorption. So why didn't he say the same thing in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah starts off very, very similarly, that Chotzer Shepchusa Midalar Abbas. So we ask the question, why if it's less than 4 amis, do you have to make the uka? More than 4 amis, you don't make the uka. Let Reb Zera say that our Mishnah is like Rabbanan. It's not because of the absorption, it's because of the zilof, and therefore, that's the pshat. Why does he insist on talking about absorption? Let him say, even goes according to Rabbanan. My doctor, Reb Zera, the Oik Masisik, Reb Lezman Yaakov. Omer Rav Masisik Hashisa, he was bothered by the terminology, the text. My ear, the Tony Chotashi, he pechusa, listen, Chotashi, ain't but Dalid Amis al Dalid Amis. Just like that Brisa that we quoted says, Chotashi, ain't but Dalid Amis al Dalid Amis. Why didn't our Mishnah also use the expression, Chotashi, ain't but Dalid Amis al Dalid Amis? Oh, Elav Shmamina, Reb Lezman Yaakov, Shmamina. Because of the difference of Lashon, here it says chotish yipchusa, and there it says chotish einba. There the focus on, it's got to be 4x4. You can stand on your head. 4x4. Yes, you do not need an ukkah. Less than 4x4, you do need an ukkah. This focus on dafka, 4x4, this is a svara that would apply to the Rabbanan. However, our Mishnah doesn't use that svara. Our Mishnah says if it's less than four means in any way of configuration. It doesn't have to be 4x4, it could be 8x2. Anything more is much more, the Mishnah allows itself to much more
flexibility,
Shkoyach and Daniel, in its explanation, and therefore it's not just a question of 4x4, even 8x2, and that's why Shmamin Elezvin Yaakovi. If you go back to the Mishnah for a short moment, you'll notice that Lechoyah have a problem with this Pshat. Because the Mishnah, the Amud Aleph, starts with Chotish B'chus Mi'arba Amas. You just said it's going to, according to Reblazim and Yaakov, Reblazim and Yaakov. But when you finish the first statement of this Tanakama, Chotish B'chus Mi'arba Amas, Ein Shoyf L'toichem Kinos L'Ukra, and the Ukra's got to be Machzek Asasayim in the neck of the mat. Maybe Chotish B'fnim, maybe Chotish Tarach Likmar, Ein Tarach Likmar. Stop. A long, long sentence. But that was the statement of the Tanakama. Oh, by the way, Reblazim and Yaakov, Oymer Bib. What do you mean, Reb Lezim Yaakov Aymer? Wasn't Reb Lezim Yaakov talking until now? Why are we repeating now and saying Reb Lezim Yaakov? He's the Tan of the Mishnah until now, according to the way Reb Zeira is learning. And for the Gemara, you're right. And therefore, I have to do some modest surgery on our Mishnah. So the Gemara, made a safe Reb Lezim Yaakov, Rishalav Reb Lezim Yaakov. So the Gemara, cool Reb Lezim Yaakov, that entire beginning of the Mishnah is all one statement, Reb Lezim Yaakov, Surim Mechzim Achitari. And you have to add a couple of words. Start the Mishnah again. Can't pour the wastewater out on the 4x4 unless you make your ukkah. If you did have a 4x4, then you could pour out the water. What's the reason? Because it gets absorbed into the ground. I, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, say not only the gabe, this open chotzer, but also if you have a biv, you have this drainage ditch, drainage canal, hakomor dalet ames b'shusarabim, which is covered over dalet ames b'shusarabim, shev l'pteichem mayim b'shabbos, you're allowed to go and pour the waste water directly into it. Why can you go and pour the water directly into it? Because it's not going to flow. The assumption is that it's going to get absorbed into the ground. So therefore the two Reb Lezer ben Yaakovs go together as one statement, this dalet ames focus. Okay. Continuing on, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, Oimer bivakomer. As long as it's covered over, dalet ames, it gets absorbed. So, to masis like Chananya, the Mishnah does not stim like Chananya. Now, this masis like Chananya is not going to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Really, should say a vachuli in the Gemara because it's going on the Rabbanan. Remember, the Rabbanan said that if you have a gag, even if it's meya amma long, I'm sorry, if you have a biv, even if it's meya amma long, don't pour directly into the biv, but rather pour onto the gag. And let the wastewater then run from the gag into the gutters, into the leaders, into the biv. That would be permissible. That's not like Chananya. The Sani Chananya Oimer Afilu Gag Meya Amma. Even if the gag is 100 ammas long, Lo Yishpach, don't pour it onto the gag. Lefisha Eina Gag Osil of Loya El Lekaleach. Because what's the benefit of doing the gag? Gag is not going to be Boleach. It's going to be Mekaleach. It's only going to spritz out. So, but our Chacham say in our Mishnah the other way around. What did it say? Chacham, I remember, fill a gag, I chotz and mea ama, la yishbach al pi abiv, av sheikh vul gag, by maim yorn lebid. So the Chacham in our Mishnah say, pour it out from the gag, put out on the gag, and from the gag it's going to go to the biv. However, the Chananya said, no, don't pour it out on the gag, but go and pour it into the biv directly. Rashi points out, by the way, as a somewhat historical footnote, that the Gagin in those days were not like many houses, private houses are built today with slanty roofs. I don't know that that's the case in the city, but certainly in the country, almost everybody has a slanty roof. And the reason why you have a slanty roof is so that if it rains, it pours down on both sides. If you have a flat roof, then the water can accumulate on top. That's why a lot of the big apartment buildings have that issue at the top, that they have water that accumulates on the top of the ceiling, on the top of the roof. Anyway, one second, let's just finish the Rashi and then you'll make your comment. So Rashi says, the gang shall hen their roofs. I'm looking at Rashi 6-7 lines before the wide line. The Rashi begins the loy kachananya. Text says Rashi, "Kagan shalhem lihoyu mishupan, they were not slanty. El chalokin, they were flat. Ke'en aliyah shalanu, like our second floors, like our terraces, etc. V'tochen oisoy b'tiach ma'aziva, they would go and smear it with tiach ma'aziva, which is some sort of pitch or tar or cement. V'choykin tzinoyrois, and then they would have pipes going down, like our leaders and gutters, the kaliach kishamim, v'shoyfchen ashoybchem sham. So they would not only allow for the rainwater to drain there, but they would also pour out their wastewater through that hole. And that was the machloikit bin Chananya, where Chananya said, don't pour it out through the roof. And our Mishnah said, yes, don't pour it out through the roof. Yes.
But in our current drain system, since it's covered, it's okay. And essentially, we have the same thing without choking. But when you flush it, it brings down.
When you say we, you mean those.
In the modern world today.
Yes, yes.
Our drains, right?
Yes, if you're.
Our waste also goes through a shutter.
You're talking about if you're doing through the toilet system, is that what you mean?
So the beef is a beef, I mean, it's not synonymous, but it would be kind of the same thing. Kind of. It's covered, and it goes through pipes.
I never studied the heter, why people allowed to use the toilets, because since I was born, I knew that everybody does it. So you're asking a very good question. So, like I say, in all modern-day shyness, it's a good question, and you have to speak to you. Exactly. I don't know. No, I understand what you're trying to say, and I agree with you. Thinking about now your question, it's a good question.
But
why would this be permissible?
It's going underneath.
Okay. Oh, so maybe.
Maybe. Even if you go into Rishusharab at the bottom, this is below.
Okay.
No, it isn't your raid. The Rishusharab doesn't.
So maybe it's a caramelist.
It's Libby Rishus, for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Well, if you live in New York City, it might be a child if you live in rural Texas.
It's a good question. The questions you're asking are good questions. When I first moved to Muncie, and then we redid our basement, we have a shaila because the basements are lower than the surface level. To get the waste out of the bathrooms, out of the toilets, there's an automatic pump that works and pumps the water up, and then it flows out. Are you allowed to use that on Shabbos? So I remember when I first encountered that, people said, it's a shaila. So I asked Rabbi Rottenberg, and he said, yeah, it's a kanal to shaila, but the answer is it's mutter. So I didn't go into the whole why it's a shtram and kodesh and
bumps. What about triggering the electric?
Exactly. So that was the question. Whether you're allowed to, and maybe it doesn't work electricity, maybe it's
French, it's also the same.
Quite, you know, there are tons of shyness, but lemais, it's okay.
Let us know what you come up with there.
Exactly. If you search into this question. But it's a murky shyness, so be careful. All right. Have a wonderful day, Zagizin, Brother Shai.
All the best.
Getting back to our Gemara. Zokti Mora Tono. Medvor Mamurim. We're on the fourth line of the wide lines. Tono. But Medvor Mamurim. Now, this Medvor Mamurim is going back to the beginning of the Mishnah that you need an uka. Uka means that cesspool that you build on your property, which is less than 4x4. That's Bimoy Sechama. That's during the summer months. Abimoy Sechama during the winter months. Shoifech Veshoina Ve'ein Nimna. If you just recently moved into your house and you have a chotzer and you didn't dig a cesspool and it's the middle of December, January, February, whatever, and it's constantly raining and constantly pouring and constantly snowing and all the rest, then all your wastewater you can just pour out onto the chotzer. You don't have to worry. Why not? My timer, Amarava, Odom Roch Shivlu, Maimim Koyman. And when it says Odom Roch Shivlu, it doesn't mean that he Dafka has a positive desire that the water get absorbed, but he really just doesn't care. Because since it's winter months, everything is a mess anyway. His whole chotzer looks like a total mess from all the waters and all the drainage and all the stuff. So therefore, you can pour out your wastewater onto that, and he doesn't care whether it goes into. In other words, during the summer months, a person writes a shiivla mokat mayim somewhere else. I want the water to leave. This is such a beautiful property. I paid my landscaper to put up these beautiful flowers and trees and grass and all the rest. But during the winter, it's all a mess anyway, so I don't care. Since I don't care, you don't have to make a cesspool. You can just pour it out onto your property. And if it goes beyond the property, it was shaloi bekavana, that wasn't my design, and it's permissible. Omli Abaye, bari shoivchen da'odam roita shiivlu uktani lo yishvoich. I don't understand, but we were talking about the drainage into the biv. Also, people wanted to go, and people don't care if it stays within the biv, just as long as it's not on the property. Uktani Liyishbach says, don't pour directly into the biv, but rather, the Chacham said, pour onto the gag, and then from the gag into the biv. Why not? If it's going into the biv anyway, Gesundheit, let it stay there, let it be Nivla. It should be the same thing, just like the case of the Mois HaGeshamin. What do I have to worry about? In the case of the winter, am I worried about that I'm going to pour out the wastewater on my chotzer? The chotzer somehow is going to get damaged. The whole chotzer looks like a mess during the winter. Anyway, stop, or maybe what I'm concerned is that people that are passing by my chotzer and they see that the water is pouring out from my chotzer into Shusram, you know what people are going to go and say? Oh, you see what that guy's doing? He's pouring water directly from his property into the Shusram. He's being over hoitzah one to the other. Stam tzinoyus mekalchenheim. If you're talking about during the winter months, people are not going to say that I just poured out wastewater. The reason why this water constantly flowing from my chotzer through these pipes, these drainage pipes into Shusram, because that's what happens the whole winter. When the snow melts, water goes through. When it rains, water goes through. And even after the rain is over, there's water in the leaders and the gutters that slowly but surely drops and drips and goes through the leaves and goes through. So it's constantly pouring. Nobody's going to be choishing me that I'm trying to go and violate Hilchei Soitzor B'Shabbos and trying to pour from my property to the other property. So therefore, during the winter months, none of that is an issue. Amram Nachman, B'Moisek Shabbat. During the winter months, uka machzik sasayim, if you have this uka that has the sasayim, noisily sasayim, you can go and pour in sasayim, because after all, that's the size. Machzik saw, if it only holds a saw, noisily saw, then you can pour in a saw. B'yemoysa chama machzik sasayim, noisily sasayim, saw a noisily kol ikr. If it only has a saw, don't pour in it at all. Frank tomorrow, why? B'yemoysa chama nami machzik saw, noisily saw. I mean, if it can hold a saw, then pour in a saw. Once you're going to say you can go and pour into the cesspool, people, a cesspool is a cesspool, a cesspool. I'm going to start measuring it, I'm going to start taking dimensions. I stay away from cesspools. So therefore, I just pour it out, and if it is a sign, no, so it's not a sign. Yeah, but the problem is that it's going to overflow from your property into Shusra. Shusra have the same issue that I'm going to pour onto my property, it's going to go over to Rosh Hashanah. The Tumahasa my Nechishla. No, there's no concern over there. Because Imishim Kilkul, that the reason why he wants to drain the property, it shouldn't stay on the property, because he's afraid it's going to damage the beautiful appearance and the beauty of the property with this wastewater. I'm a Kalkul Vekaima. The property's already Makulkul from before, because it's a mess during the winter month. Imishim Zedishim Yom Tzinoyish Vaplani Mikaleach Mayim, Stam Tzinoyish Mikalchenhein. All of the drainage pipes throughout the city are on full activity. They're full run. They're constantly pouring out and draining water, so nobody's going to be choshes that I'm going and pouring stuff out. However, if I'm pouring it out, and this little cesspool only holds a saw, then don't pour in anything, because I'm afraid he might pour in a sosayim, and if it's going to overflow, people say, oh, you see, Yankel is pouring out his wastewater directly onto his property, that it should flow over into Shusharabim. People will choshed him that he's being over in Hilchei Soitzor B'Shabbos. But during winter, this is not a concern, because nobody cares about these drainage pipes. Everything is draining anyway. And therefore, Marbaya Hilka Chafilikorayim. During the winter, it's not Sasayim. Even if you have a car is 30 saw, Korayim is 60 saw. You have a huge party going on, and you're pouring out wastewater after wastewater. During the winter, it's not a problem, because all the tzinoiris are pouring out wastewater anyway.
What about the summer?
Summer would be problematic. That's why the Gemara said if you have a cesspool of only 100, you can't even pour in 100, because you're worried that it'll overflow and go into the other property. But if you have a sasayim, then it's okay. You have two upper stories, in other words, people living on the second floor, and they have an uka down below. So we said that the party that owns the uka can use the uka, and the other neighbor that does not have an uka cannot use the uka. And even though they're friendly to one another and say, yeah, I'll use it the whole week from Sunday to Friday, he uses the other guy's cesspool, but not on Shabbos. Zokhi mar amarava, afilu irvu, even if they made an eruv together, the other neighbor cannot pour his wastewater into my uka. Amar bai my time, what's the reason why? Imay mishim nefisha de maya, are you concerned because this uka, for instance, only has two sasayim, two sa'a in depth and in dimensions. And maybe by having two neighbors, you need now a uka that can hold four saw. But then you have a brisa achasli uka vi achasli gistra brecha bareva alva bishin esmalu mayim erev Shabbos. What happens if the cesspool is already full from Friday? It was on overload and it did not absorb all of the water, and now it's full. Shoyivchul etoichem mayim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to go and pour mayim into it on Shabbos anyway. The reason is again because you're not miskaven davke for the water to go into Shusar Rabim. If it gets absorbed, it gets absorbed. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't really care. Eliyat Marhachi Yitma. So that's the case. So why do you say Afilu Irvu, the other party cannot use my Uka? Amarav, I'll tell you why. Tapa the Amar Loishonu Eshaloi Irvu. Taka says we're going to change Rava. Not that Rava said Afilu Irvu. However, if we made an Erev, then my next door neighbor can use my Uka. What difference does it make? Your Erev, Nisht Erev. I'll tell you why. Since both parties are living on the second floor, we're afraid that the neighbor, when he's using my Uka, he's not going to pour the wastewater from his balcony down below. Any of you ever gone in Yerushalayim or Bnei Brak or something in Erev Shabbos when they're doing, they call it spanja on their balconies, and very often there's a drainage pipe and it goes into the Shusram. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful not to walk under that drainage pipe, because if you do, you can get your hat and your clothes all shmatzik, right? I'm sure you've either seen it or witnessed it, or Chas V'Shalom may have happened to you.
Heard about it.
You may have heard about it, but you can easily picture it because you see how the water is draining. Anyway, so the point is, the people living on the second floor, instead of pouring it down directly from their balcony, they may come down to the Rishusar, not the Rishusar, to the Chotzer down below, with their money. Money means with their pots and pans, full of their containers, full of the wastewater. Lafukim and money, the batim lahasim. So what's the problem? And the problem is that you're going to go and carry the wastewater from your private house, which is Shusi Yachid, into the chotzer. If there's no Erev, oh, you're not going to carry in a chotzer without an Erev. Oh, so that's why it's prohibited. So if that's the case, so why don't we say the same thing for the neighbor that owns the Uka? Why is he mutter to use the Uka? Why am I not afraid that he's going to come down with his pots and pans? So the answer is simple. Because since that neighbor has his Uka directly underneath my balcony, directly underneath his balcony, so on Shabbos, when he has to pour out wastewater, he'll open up that little hole over there, and he'll pour out from the balcony, and it's going to go straight down into the Uka down below. So he's not going to carry it with Caleb. The guy next door, his drainage pipe doesn't lead into my Uka. After all, my Uka is mine. His drainage pipe is going to lead out onto the Chotzer. He's not going to want to pour out onto the Chotzer, because he's going to mess up his Chotzer, especially during your Moisa Chama, like we said before. So what is he going to do not to mess up his Chotzer? He wants to pour it out into my Uka. He's going to take it with the containers down the stairs, carry it into the Chotzer. So therefore, if you made an Erev, it's mutter. But without an Erev, he might carry it. So if you look at the last Toises, the first Toises over here on the top of the Omid, you look at the last five or six lines. Va'oisim shali osu uka asurin. If they didn't make an uka, their osur kid omar till ma'osi lafuki ma'i b'mana debatim lechacha. What does that mean? Shiridim and adiyota. They're going to go and carry down from the second story down below. Bekalim maleim ma'im with kalim full of water. Lisvasa uka to the opening of the uka. Shirachoyk mehen dein roitzin shiipla ma'im lamata v'yakalka lechotzer. But that only refers to the neighbors. The neighbor that owns the uka down below, he's not going to come down with his kelim. He'll just let it flow from the balcony straight in. Had lochkeitz mishtatvim, lochkeitz mishtatvim, lochkeitz mishtatvim. Mitchum, tomorrow we start kol gagoy seir. For those of you that started late, that joined us late, I just want to remind everybody, tomorrow in Yetzer Shem, we're going to be learning at 8:05 Friday morning in Yetzer Shem. 8:05. Put it down in your calendar.